and welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Thank you for coming out to our Sunday morning service. Please take your seats and open your green hymnals to page 167. Sing our first song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, page 167 in your green hymnals. Page 167, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, on the first. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen. Great singing this morning. Brother Sean Collin, can you open us with a word of prayer? Amen. Page 228. I love to tell the story. Page 228. Page 228. I love to tell the story. Sing it out on the first.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
On the last.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Great singing, everybody. Welcome to your Foundation Baptist Church. Let's take our bulletins and look at some announcements. If you need a bulletin, we slip up your hand and Brother Ramon will bring you a bulletin, or Brother Ryan. All right, on our front cover, we have our verse of the week. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." That's 1 John 4:1. Our service times, our Sunday morning service is 10:30 a.m. Our Sunday evening service is 3:30 p.m. We'll be in Genesis chapter number 44 tonight. And this morning I'm preaching part of my series that we skip around on, but it's the Kingdom of the Cults. I'm going to be preaching about Judaism. I actually have two sermons I'm going to preach about Judaism, and today's going to be the first one, but I won't be preaching the second one until after Easter. So just wanted to warn you to buckle your seatbelts this morning because it might get a little rough. But anyway, Thursday Bible study is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and that'll be the second sermon out of that chapter as well. And our soul winning times are listed below. If you want to go soul winning today, 1 o'clock with Brother Sean Conlon, just make sure he knows you're going. Are we meeting here at 1:15? 1:15. So 1 o'clock isn't really the real time, huh? Yeah, 1:10, 1:15. It's short and sweet, and we're out the door. If you want to meet on location, just look inside the WhatsApp group, and the address will be posted. And then we'll see. If you look at our praise report, the praise report is not accurate. It has March and zero, and that's not right. And I believe March is actually 29 salvations. February, I thought, was more than 23, but our numbers were messed up a little bit. But as of now, I believe the accurate number is 75. But I'm going to go through and look at that and make sure that's correct. And we do actually have 8 baptisms so far this year. We have one here, but Brother Ian's been baptizing like crazy. He had one, I think, baptized last week. I think he's or two last week, one the week before that, and he's baptizing today, I believe. You can see our attendance totals at the bottom there, and on our right inside cover page, we have our upcoming events, which are getting filled up again. April 9th, which is this coming Saturday, we're going to have a soul winning marathon here in Vancouver. And so I'm going to choose out a couple captains. There might be two or three that we need, depending on how many people are wanting to come. But we'll have like coffee and kind of breakfast in the morning here. We'll meet here at the building. If you can't meet at the building, that's okay. You can still meet on location. I'm going to say 9:30 for our meetup here, and then 10:30 we'll go out. We'll go out for a couple hours, come back, have lunch. We may have lunch on at a park or something, depending on what the weather's like. I wouldn't mind that. It's always nice to eat in the park and kind of hang out. But and then we'll have a couple more hours in the afternoon. And we'll hopefully have our Easter invitations by that point. And then the Lord's Supper is going to be next Sunday night at 3:30 p.m. And that's where we partake of communion together as a church family. And so that will be just the communion service, and then everybody gets to go home. So it's going to be a short service. And then Easter Sunday is the 17th. And so invite a friend or a family member. We'll be preaching about the resurrection. And then we're also going to have that day, which is not in the bulletin either. We're going to have a potluck after the service. And then men's preaching night. Can I get a hand, show of hands of who's coming to men's preaching, or who's planning on preaching at men's preaching night? One, two? No, I'm just kidding. Two, three. All right. Come on, Brother Robert. Four. Brother Sean's going to be preaching up in Spokane. And so that'll be a good day, Easter Sunday. And then April 23rd through 25th is the Detroit soul winning trip. Deacon Corbin Russell will be preaching on Sunday morning. And then Brother Dylan Oz is going to be there. And he's going to be preaching the evening service, whatever time that's going to be. And we'll have the location soon for that. And then I'll be preaching that same weekend at the Pastor's Appreciation Weekend that Pastor Jones is having at Shield of Faith Baptist Church. Deacon Oliver Gonzalez is going to be preaching there on Friday night. And then I'll be preaching both services on Sunday. The ladies' tea is going to be 10 a.m. here at the building on May 7th. So ladies, probably going to be some kind of a sign up for that. But I think the food's being catered, so you don't have to worry about any of that. And that'll be 10 a.m. here at the building. And any lady can come. You don't have to be. It's not necessarily a mother-daughter thing, but it is kind of the Mother's Day, you know, celebration type thing for the ladies. But it is just for any lady, okay? And let's see, May 28th, we're having a fellowship preaching service at the border. We've done that before, and it was a very good success. So we're going to meet up there. We'll have the schedule for that forthcoming, but I'm going to be preaching two sermons, and we're going to be fellowshipping with the brethren in Canada, our church up in the Great North. So, what I was planning on doing is possibly doing some soul winning in Blaine the day before. So on Friday, maybe going up Thursday night, and then Friday having either a soul winning marathon or just a soul winning time that we do in Blaine. And then of course we got camp coming up, and then all the other stuff is kind of way in the distance. But I wanted to make sure that everybody is in special prayer for our church in Spokane. It's just an unspoken request for the church up there, and just if you could focus on praying about that church up there, our church, our brethren over in Spokane, Washington, I'd appreciate that. And we're a family-integrated church, so that means the children and infants are welcome during the church services. Please utilize the mother-baby room, which is located back there, and the dad-baby room located over there in the corner for your needs. And please reserve the back rows for families with young children, rockers or gliders, or for pregnant and nursing mothers and elders only. Please, no men in the mother-baby rooms, and vice versa. No unattended children in the building at any time, please, and then no food in the assembly area. Please silence your cell phones if you would at this time, please. And escorts are available by the ushers. They're the guys that have the pins on their coats that say usher. And our donations information, our tithes and offerings so far, or for the month of March, is at the bottom of the page. And let's see, we have one birthday to celebrate, but it looks like he didn't show up to get saying happy birthday to. So we'll have to remedy that. And Brother Temo, he's only going to be 55 this year. He looks pretty young for his age. But anyway, it's Brother Temo's birthday on the 9th, which is this coming Saturday. So anyway, that's all I got for announcements. Let's sing another song, and then we'll receive the offering.
All right, let's turn our green hymnals to page 3. Jesus paid it all. Page number 3, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Sing it out with me on the first. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone. Can change the leopard's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Great singing, everyone. At this time, we'll take our offering. Brother Sean, can you bless the offering for us?
Lord, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can come to your house and listen to your preach. I pray that you would that you just fill Pastor Thompson with your spirit, Lord. You would just have him edify your church, Lord. I pray that you would bless this offering. That you would bless both the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
All right, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring you one. Deuteronomy 31. (Clears throat) Deuteronomy 31, the Bible reads, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them who he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good cheer, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests of the sons of Levi, which bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and brethren, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves, and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods, and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good cheer, a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion, and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord. to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Brother Drew, will you pray for us?
Amen. All right. Well, like I said in the announcements, I'm preaching the Kingdom of the Colts series. I've preached a couple sermons out of it, but today I want to focus on the religion of Judaism, And if you were following along in the Bible reading, you could see that Moses is going to die, and God tells him to make sure to be a witness against the children of Israel, that they were going to turn against him. And even at the very end of it, it says, you know, an evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of the congregation, all of Israel, the words of the song until they were ended. So I'm not going to cover the song of Moses until next time I preach the second part of this teaching about the religion of Judaism. But I am going to cover some of the things that are said here in chapter number 31. So now the definition of a cult is a system of religious veneration and devotion directed toward a particular figure or object. So in modern English, a cult is a social group that is defined by its unusual religious, spiritual, or philosophical beliefs, or its common interest in a particular personality, like a cult of personality. But that's basically what it is. It's when it's something that's an unusual religious or spiritual or philosophical beliefs. And, you know, I believe that God's definition of a cult is that anything that's not normal biblical Christianity is, you know, it's false. It's a cult. So go ahead and turn to Psalm 119, verse 104, and then just keep your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to come back there here in just a minute. But the reason why I believe that that's God's point of view, that he holds this point of view, is because he tells us this in Psalm chapter 109, verse 104. It says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. So the way, the truth, and the life is Jesus. And so that is the right way. That is the true way. That is the right. And I'm not saying just because, you know, if you're a Christian group that you might have some things wrong. Every church probably has some things wrong that's a Bible-believing church. You know, we're not perfect. But to have beliefs that would be like something different about salvation, that's a cult. It's not right. It's a false way. It's not true. Any religion that doesn't have Jesus as the Savior and Jesus as the Messiah that came and died for our sins on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day, that, in my opinion, is a cult, and it looks like, in God's opinion, that's a cult too. So it's something that's false. It's a false way. And so Judaism today is a false way. Now you're like, well, Pastor Thompson, they were the first, you know, that was the true religion. Yeah, it was. But it wasn't necessarily called Judaism. But now it is. And they have a lot of strange beliefs, and they're probably the worst cult in the whole world, in my opinion. They, you know, people will still look to them and say, well, the Jews have it, you know, they have it partly right. They still believe the Bible. That's not true. They don't believe the Bible. I'll prove that to you. And, you know, there was just so much information that I want to preach another sermon about this. And the next sermon I preach about, I'm going to talk about the things in the Talmud. And that is like a Jewish encyclopedia or commentary on the Bible, where they just blaspheme Jesus Christ. They blaspheme God throughout the whole thing. They call Jesus a sorcerer and a black magic practitioner. They call Mary a whore. They say that Mary was a whore that Jesus was born from a Roman soldier named Pantera. And, you know, I don't want to give away all that, but this book called Jesus in the Talmud, it like kind of just highlights a lot of the things that they're saying about Jesus. And so this book kind of just shines a spotlight on it, and it wasn't meant to be what, you know, the person that wrote it, I think, is Jewish, but he meant this just to be honest and say, this is what the Jews actually believe. And a lot of times they would take this out of the Talmud, and they would cover this stuff up because Christians get really angry over the things that are said in it, and rightly so. And so they'll say, well, you know, we got persecuted because of this or that, because we're Jews. That's not really the reason why they've been persecuted. They've been persecuted because in the next chapter, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says why they're going to be persecuted. And then in this chapter that we read today, you know, they're rebellious. They're a rebellious people. So in the Old Testament, Israel was a nation, a physical nation, and also a spiritual nation at the same time. They were supposed to be God's chosen people, and God chose Abraham, he chose Isaac, he chose Jacob, and that is the line in which the Messiah comes from the very beginning. And so God had a special covenant with the nation of Israel. But as you can see, he says they're going to break my covenant. As soon as Moses dies, they're going to start corrupting themselves. After Joshua, you know, actually they did pretty well under Joshua. After Joshua, there rose up a generation that knew not the Lord. And so they didn't do a very good job at teaching their children. And God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And he's telling Moses, hey, these people are going to betray me. These people are going to go against me. They're going to serve other gods. They're going to serve, you know, basically they're going to worship the devil. We'll look at that next time. But I do have a lot of scripture to go through today. And I hope that, you know, I hope that you pay attention and follow along with the teaching, because, you know, this isn't a very popular teaching when I'm about to preach. It's very, you know, there's a lot of people say, well, you're racist, you hate Jews. That's not true. We don't hate Jews. As a matter of fact, I tried to give a Jew the gospel last week, and he was actually pretty open to it, but he had to go. So, but he didn't look like he was, you know, a practicing Orthodox Jew, but he had like gauges in his ears and stuff like that. But anyway, I'll still give the gospel if you have gauges in your ear, you know. But whatever the Bible says is right is what's right. And any other way than the Bible is a false way. And so Judaism is a major religion. It's called, you know, people by definition would not call Judaism a cult in, you know, the worldly sense of the word. You know, because the major religions are not considered to be cult as long as they stay Orthodox or whatever. But Orthodox Judaism is just as wicked as all the other branches of Judaism. And they literally don't believe the Bible. I mean, if you've watched the movie Marching to Zion, we have it right over there on the shelf if you want to take it home and watch it. It's hard to find on YouTube anymore because it's censored, because it's not a popular message. But it is a false way, and guess what? God hates it. And he even says, you know, I'm going to turn my face away from them, doesn't he? And at some point, you know, when they rejected Christ as their Messiah, God blinded Israel, and they've been blind ever since then. And they've hated, you know, they hate Jesus. And so when you hate Jesus, it's kind of hard to get saved. But anyway, there's some good things that came out of that, like the message of the gospel going to the Gentiles because they rejected the gospel. But let's look back at Deuteronomy 31, verse 14. And before we do that, I just want to say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much, God, for the Bible, and Lord, how it just is a book that can straighten out our minds and let us know what's truth and what's false. And Lord, we know you hate every false way. And Lord, pray you'd fill me with your Spirit as I preach this sermon. I pray you'd fill this room with your Spirit and that you'd be here to meet with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, the days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them." Now the Lord gave Israel a lot of chances. Even though they broke the covenant, God still, you know, would bring them back if they, you know, he would send a savior to them in the times of the judges, like a savior that would go and he would fight against these nations, and the people would turn back and cry again to the Lord, and he would help them and heal them and forgive them. But it says in verse 17, "Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought
in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. So the purpose of the Song of Moses is to be a witness against the children of Israel of all the evils that they're going to do. And God told them beforehand, if you do these things, if you break my commandments, if you don't keep my covenant, then, you know, he's going to curse them. So it says in verse 20, and when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they will have eaten and filled themselves and waxed in fat, then they shall turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land, which I swear. Because, I mean, Moses is up getting his Ten Commandments on the mountain of Sinai, and before he even had a chance to come back down, they had already corrupted themselves. They had already told Aaron, hey, make us gods to go before us. And they made, you know, the golden calves, and they were dancing, and they were naked dancing and having a rock concert or something. And Moses came down and threw the commandments down to the ground and broke them. He was very angry. I mean, and just multiple times, if you read, you know, the first five books of the Bible, you're going to see where the children of Israel just continued to corrupt themselves even during the time of Moses. And they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they brought up an evil report. So that first generation that went out from Egypt, God, I mean, he was already having massive problems, you know. And who would say that Moses is a bad leader? Moses was a great leader. And that just goes to show that people can, you know, even if you have a great leader, people might not follow you. But Moses was faithful in all his house. And it says in verse 22, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of the law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark, the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be therefore a witness against thee. So not only was the song a witness against them, but the book itself, this book, the Bible, is a witness against them. And, you know, we can see we're living in the latter days, you know, and it says in the latter days that they would corrupt themselves and that they would go through all these things. And the Bible is a witness against them. That's why I'm going to use the Bible to show you what is wrong with Judaism, because that's basically what it turned into. It was a right religion, and then it went astray. And just like, you know, there's lots of different types of Baptists, but there's a lot of Baptists that don't believe the truth. There's a lot of Baptists that teach a false gospel. There's a lot of Baptists that teach false doctrine. But we strive to be, you know, we're Baptists because we believe the Bible. That's why I'm a Baptist. John the Baptist, you know, baptized. And, you know, Jesus, he was Jesus' cousin. He was the forerunner of Christ. And I'm not ashamed to be identified as a Baptist, because John the Baptist was a great man of God. And, I just believe that in the Baptist way, you know, I'm Baptist. I wasn't Baptist born, but I was Baptist bred. And when I die, I am going to be Baptist dead, right? So, and I'm not saying this as that we're some kind of denomination. You know, we're an independent Baptist church. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of our church, and, you know, we follow this book. And that's what Moses is saying. He's saying, hey, you know, I'm going to take this book and put it in the ark that's a witness against thee, for I know thy rebellion. And, you know, isn't it funny how he called the Levites? Because in the New Testament, who's against Jesus Christ? It's the Levites, it's the rulers, and eventually it's the people. They sway the people in a way that's wicked and wrong, and they end up cursing themselves. So look what it says in verse 27 again. It says, for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. So here you have him saying, gather the elders. gather the of your tribes and the officers. Isn't that who turned Jesus over to the Romans? The officers. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? The officers came and took him captive and drug him to, first of all, to Caiaphas, and then to Herod, and then to Pilate, then Herod, then Pilate again. And then they're the ones, and that's why Moses is witnessing against them in this, and God told them to witness against them, not only the Levites, but also, you know, the elders and the officers. And he says, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from, what does it say? The way. So this is what I'm talking about. So Judaism is no longer part of the right way. And the Bible actually says, the Bible right here that Moses says to put in the ark, this passage right here, it says, you know, you're going to turn aside from the way which I commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And what was the work of their hands? To take their own Savior, the Messiah who was promised to them, and to beat him, and to spit in his face, and to mock him, and to crucify him, and make fun of him while he's on the cross, not give him any food or water to eat or drink. And that's the evil that they did with their hands. And Moses spake in the ears of the congregation of the children of the words of this song until they were ended. Now, next week I'll cover, or not next week, but in a few weeks, I'll cover this song of Moses. And basically everything that God says is going to happen to him is exactly what's happened to him. You know, people want to talk about the Holocaust and all that stuff, but God said that he was going to curse that people. And so, and I'm not saying that all that was right. I'm just saying that God said it was going to happen. The Jews have been kicked out of basically every country around the world. And why? Because of their banking, their big high lending that they do with these massive, paybacks that you have to do. And then also the fact that they just corrupt people. They corrupt them. You know, look at Hollywood. Hollywood is basically run by the Jews. And, you know, so they're putting out stuff that fits that agenda. Because in reality, the Jews are no longer God's chosen people. They're Satan's chosen people. And I'll prove that to you. You're like, well, I can't believe you're talking about this, Pastor Thompson. It's true. And you can just see, you'll see as we go through this that that's absolutely true. Now, I do want to give this caveat, though. We do not hate Jews, okay? We do not hate Jews. That's what we get accused of. You're an anti-Semite. So you're just saying that I just don't like the Semite people. Jews aren't the only Semite people, by the way. But anyway, we're against the religion of Judaism. So I'm preaching about the kingdom of the cults. I'm preaching against Judaism, the religion. Because you know what? They don't know what tribes they're part of anymore. When the Romans conquered them in 70 AD, they dispersed them throughout the whole world, just like God said it was going to happen again. And they lost track of their lineage. They lost track of their genealogies. That's why the Bible says to avoid genealogies. Because these Jews will try to use those genealogies to say, see, you know, and look at these offshoots of Judaism, how they say, like, the black Hebrew Israelites. They're the real Israelites. And guess who the white people are? The devils. You know? And we're, what do they say? We're Edomites. And then, you know, people from Latin descent or from South America or Mexico, what do they call them? The tribe of Issachar or something like that? I can't remember what. But anybody that's white is bad, and everybody else is a different tribe of Israel, okay? But that's just how bad it gets when you're talking about these offshoots. But anyway, we don't hate Jews. We hate Judaism. We hate the religion, and we want the people of the religion to be saved through the truth. We want to get them back on the way, the right way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that's the standard. There's no other way to get through. People say, well, Jews believe in the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament too. Okay? He's the same God, and they just rejected the one that God sent, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And, you know, Jews today believe that a Messiah is coming, But guess what it's going to be? It's not going to be the real Messiah. It's going to be the false Messiah. It's going to be the Antichrist. So what's the truth? Their Messiah, Christ, has already come. They've rejected him. They crucified him. And in so doing, they have cursed themselves. And Judaism today is cursed. Now you're like, well, they all seem like they're all rich and living it up and stuff. That might be true, but that's, you know, they're taking their rewards that they have from the working for the devil right now. Because the devil, you know, he told Christ, you know, he took Christ and he took him to a high mountain. He said, you know, if you bow down and worship me, all of this will be yours. So the devil can offer people things. The devil can, you know, use his darkness to bless people in ways as long as they're serving him and doing what he wants. But ultimately he hates them too. So he wants to just kill everybody. He's a pretty bad guy. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses had already told the people that there was going to be another prophet like he is. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. It says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's telling them beforehand. Okay, look at verse 18. It says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." What does that mean? Well, he's going to require their life. He's going to require their death. He's going to require them to be in hell. That's what he's going to require. It says, "Whosoever will not hearken unto his words," that's the end of them. And it's because look at what it says in verse 20. "But the prophet that shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him." So Moses is trying to tell him the difference between a real prophet, the prophet that's supposed to come to them, and false prophets. When a false prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the thing comes not to pass, or their dream doesn't come true, then they're a false prophet, and it says that prophet shall die. That's the end of a false prophet. It's supposed to be the end of a false prophet. And ultimately, even though there's a lot of false prophets among us today, they're not going to get away from it. They might, you know, Joel Osteen might be living in his mansion down in Houston somewhere or wherever. He probably has mansions all over the place. But eventually, you know what? God's going to require it of him. And every single person in Judaism that believes it's trash, they have a chance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But anybody that does not believe on Christ, their end is hell. That's what the Bible teaches. But Moses told them beforehand. Now look at Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 41. So Jesus should have made some predictions. He should have prophesied some things that came to pass, right? We should be able to count on some of the things that Jesus said are going to come true. Now, some of the things that Jesus said are going to happen have not happened yet, but they will happen. Now look at Luke 19, verse 41. It says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it," talking about Jerusalem, "saying, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." What is the visitation he's talking about? He's talking about the prophet that Moses said was going to come. And what else is he saying? He's saying, this place is going to be leveled to the ground, and there will not be one stone left upon another. Now today they'll say that wailing wall over in Jerusalem is a remnant of the wall of the time of the temple, but that is not the wall of the time of the temple, because Jesus said not one stone will be left upon another. And you know, it's a fact of history that the Romans came You know, the Jews rebelled in 66 AD, and there was like this Jewish-Roman war, and then in 70 AD, they finally got through, they broke through and destroyed the temple, and basically the violence of it was so bad that even the Caesar was trying not to let the temple be destroyed, but because they were so angry with the Jews, because they'd been killing a lot of Roman soldiers too, they were so angry that they wouldn't even listen to Titus. They wouldn't even listen to him. And they just went in and started killing people indiscriminately, men, women, boys, and girls. They wanted to try to rip the temple apart because they thought that the Jew gold was still stashed behind the walls or something like that. But they wouldn't listen. And so they did destroy everything completely. And, you know, there's historians that say that you couldn't even tell that Jerusalem was a city after that, that you would just walk by and see it was desolate. But I mean, if you look back at history, that's how it was when the Babylonians destroyed it also. So the second time the temple was destroyed was exactly what Jesus prophesied. How could he know that? He couldn't know that unless he was the prophet that Moses said he was. So that proves right there that Jesus was not a false prophet, that he was the prophet, that he was the Messiah that he was promised to be. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, a lot of people say the Jews didn't really kill Jesus. You know, it was somebody else. You know, the ADL will probably, you know, try to complain about that. But in the Talmud, they do say that Jesus was a fool, he was a blasphemer, and that he deserved what he got. That's what the Talmud says. And guess what? The Jews today, the religion of Judaism, they don't follow the Bible. They follow the Talmud. They follow the Kabbalah. They follow falseness, the commandments of men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says that the Jews killed Jesus. Look what it says. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So this letter that Paul wrote, he's even saying, you know, the things I've written to you before, those things are inspired. Those things are the Bible. They're the word of God, not of men. Because people try to accuse Paul of just saying that these letters are just, you know, just letters. They're not really scripture. But what's Paul saying here? That he received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Look at verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So he's talking to this Gentile church, and he's saying, hey, your own people have turned against you, but so have, you know, the Jews that have done the same thing, even as they have of the Jews, who both, what's it say? Killed the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what it says? Even as they have of the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus. If you know how to read English, which I hopefully everybody here does, unless you don't know how to read yet, it says they killed the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? And their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. This is what the Apostle Paul, who said, I'll give back my salvation if I could just save some of my countrymen. He loved the Jews. He was a Jew. But you know what? He also understood the truth about them, is that they killed the Lord Jesus. They killed their own prophets. They persecuted the church. In the book of Acts, it's not the Romans that are after them. It's the Jews. They're going to every spot that he goes to preach. They're lying in wait. They're making pacts saying, I'm not going to eat any food until I've killed the Apostle Paul. They're not. How is that God's chosen people? Just let me ask you that real quick. How is people that are these Jews, and Paul was one of them for a while. He was a Pharisee, and he was going around, you know, persecuting Christians and killing them and putting his voice against them so they'd be put to death. And he was torturing people and making them, you know, blaspheme Christ. But the Bible says that, you know, their own prophets have persecuted us and please not God and are contrary to all men. They're contrarians. Everything that anybody else in the world believes, they're contrary to that. So the real reason why they're persecuted today, even today, is because they're contrary to all men. And it says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, which, you know, here's another thing. They're racist. They're racist. They believe that only Jews are God's chosen people, and they can lie and swindle the goyim, is what they call them. The Gentiles, the goyim. Anybody that's not a Jew, they can just swindle them all year, and as long as they, you know, I don't know what it is that they have to do to, they don't feel like they are held accountable for any reason. They can straight up lie to somebody and then break that deal, and it's okay in their mind. And so it says, forbidding us to speak with the Gentiles that they may be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Didn't Moses say you will utterly corrupt yourselves? Isn't that what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 31? And here's the Apostle Paul saying that the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. And so they're filling up their sins. They're trying to forbid the apostles to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Why would they care if they don't even like Gentiles? It's because they're contrary to all men. Look, turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Brother CJ, never mind, I got a water right here. Acts chapter 2, verse number 36, the Bible says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is Peter addressing the Jews in his famous sermon in Acts chapter 2, but he flat out tells them, whom ye crucified. And Stephen was stoned to death because he was addressing the Jews and told them that they do always resist the Holy Ghost. And, you know, they gnash on with their teeth and killed him. So just even bringing up the fact that they killed Jesus, they get really upset about that. But they did. That's what the Bible says. Turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. See, the Jews rejected Christ. And they hated him, and they turned the people against him. So one minute he's coming in, and they're laying down palm branches and saying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then a few days later, they're yelling out, crucify him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar! And Caesar and Pilate's like, shall I crucify your king? So they rejected Jesus Christ as their king. They rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And you know what Messiah means? It means Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Okay? And so look at verse, Matthew chapter 27, verse 24 says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See to it. So he literally, you know, washes his hands in front of all the people as they're, you know, he's offering to let Jesus go. He's offering to, you know, they bring up Barabbas, which, you know, he really was a murderer. He was a bad guy. And they choose Barabbas over Jesus, a man that healed amongst them, rose people from the dead, walked on water, cleansed the lepers, cleansed the temple, cleansed or made people that were blind able to see. People that were deaf were able to hear again. Did all these miracles before him, and they choose Barabbas, who was a person of sedition that murdered some people in some revolt. They choose him instead of Jesus Christ. It says, then answered all the people. So it's not just the chief Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. Who is it? It says, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. As in unison. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. They had the choice. They could have chosen Jesus at that moment, but they said, no, crucify him, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And what is that doing? That's cursing them. They curse themselves. And, you know, God's going to, whatever proceeds out of your mouth, God's going to hold you to it. So God blinded them spiritually because of this. Now, there's obviously a remnant amongst the Jews. There's people that are calling themselves Jews or whatever that can still be saved. But as a whole, the nation was rejected and blinded by God because of this. Look at Romans 11, verse number 7. Romans 11, verse number 7. It says in Romans 11, verse 7, it says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which they seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Isn't that what the Bible says? So the election, and it's not talking about a Calvinistic election, okay? Anybody that is saved, that believes on Christ, is the elect, okay? I don't have time to get into all that, but that's what it means by that. And so verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. So he's applying these scriptures to David. David's preaching against the Jews. David's saying, hey, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. So obviously, you know, David is also speaking about Judas in this, but he's also then speaking about the children of Israel. Because, you know, we take the New Testament, we interpret the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament. So whatever the New Testament says about those Old Testament scriptures, that's what the application really is. Now, obviously, lots of scriptures have primary, secondary, and third applications. So, you know, not just because one scripture is fulfilled in one way doesn't mean it can't be fulfilled in another way. There's, you know, how many times has the temple been destroyed? Twice, right? So, and then there's going to be a third temple that comes. And then that temple is going to be defiled. So, and you know what? The Jews are liars. The big thing about the Jews also, the Jewish religion, is that they're a bunch of liars. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. And this applies to anybody that denies that Jesus is Christ. So the Jews, they believe that there's a Messiah. They just don't believe it's Jesus. So look what it says, though, about that in 1 John 2, 22. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. If you deny the Son, guess what? You don't have the Father. So these people that say, oh, well, yeah, they believe in the God of the Old Testament. They don't have the God of the Old Testament because they don't have Jesus. Isn't that what the Bible says? If you deny Jesus, you're an antichrist. Anybody that denies him is an antichrist. So are the Jews antichrist? Yes or no? Yes. Look at verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. So do the Jews, they deny that Jesus is the Son of God, do they have the Father? No. It says, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So in the Bible, it teaches the Trinity. We believe that at this church. And you have to believe in the Son. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. You have to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's what the Bible says. There's no other name, there's no other person, there's no other way to be saved besides Jesus Christ. So they're a bunch of liars. Now turn to John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus prophesied about who they would receive later in here, and he also squashes the fact that they actually believe the Bible. Because a lot of people say, well, they believe the Old Testament's true. And when I asked that Jew last week whether he believed in the book of Isaiah, I think he did say that he did. But a lot of them won't even say that they believe in Isaiah because they don't like chapter 53. They hate chapter 53 because, I mean, if you read chapter 53, it flat out showing you that Jesus is the Christ. That's how the Ethiopian eunuch got saved. It's from Isaiah chapter 53, right? So that was before Romans chapter, you know, the book, the Romans Road was written. So anyway, so they don't believe the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus is going to put them to the test right here. What he says in verse 39, it says, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. and you will not come to me, that you may have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. He's talking to the Jews here. I am come in my Father's name, and receive, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So this is just like a little clue to us that there's going to be someone that's going to come in their own name, and they are going to receive that person as Messiah. So it's just a little clue for us that in the end times, you know, we're in the end times, but when it gets to this point, that someone's going to come and they're going to say they're the Messiah, and they're going to say that they're coming in their own name. So could be a oneness belief or some weird thing like that. But anyway, verse 44 says, how can you believe when you receive, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. So they're saying that you know, Moses is who they trust. You know, they're trusting in a man. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? They're saying that you trust Moses. But yet Moses was just a man of God, you know, a great man of God. But he says that even Moses is accusing you. The one who you say you believe in, you know, Moses is alive. Moses is in Moses came down on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so Moses is alive, but he's just not reunited with his body yet. But he's even accusing them. If he could have called down from heaven, he probably said, you Jews, I told you this was going to happen in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 30, in chapter 32. Didn't I tell you right before I died that you're all going to reject the truth? So verse 46 says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. When did he write of him? Throughout the whole thing. But basically almost everything he talked about was some picture of Christ or the fact that he was going to be that prophet. And it says, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Remember, the Bible was put into the Ark of the Covenant as a witness against them. And Jesus just said, but if you believe not his writings, whose? Moses's, the ones that got put into the Ark, the ones that are a testimony and a witness against them. How shall you believe my words? Because the same words that Jesus preached are the same spirit that Moses preached out of, the same truth, right? So they believe that the Old Testament, they don't believe in the Old Testament scriptures. Because if they don't believe Moses, what did Moses write? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So they don't believe any of that. That's what they say they trust in. They trust in Moses. So they in marching to Zion, you know, these rabbis are like, how many different rabbis is it? Like four or five? And he asks them just all these, Pastor Anderson just asks them all these biblical questions. What do you believe? What do you believe about this? What do you believe about this? And none of them believed the true Genesis account. None of them, you know, they don't even know where the star of Remphan came from. Like, we don't even know where the star came from. You know, that star, they call it the Star of David. But there's nothing in Scripture about that, except for there's a star, that star of Remphan. But that's the flag that they have, because you know what? They have turned themselves over to other gods. Isn't that what the Bible said? And anything that's another god in reality is a devil. Well, I'll delve into that next in a few weeks here. But the Jews do not have salvation. That's the main problem, is that they teach a different type of salvation. They don't teach it right. They went off. So when John came, he said, you know, the axe is laid to the root, because they forsook the right ways of the Lord in the latter days, just like Moses said was going to happen. Turn to Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. When Jesus is just ripping the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the lawyers to shreds in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, he says something very interesting here. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, which is like a convert, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So what does that tell you? They're preaching a false salvation, even then. It's even worse now. I'm not sure what they were teaching. Maybe you have to keep the commandments of Moses to be saved. Isn't that what the Bible says? That they're, you know, the Judaizers, what were they trying to do? They're always trying to glory in their flesh and say, you need to get circumcised or you can't be saved. You need to follow the laws of Moses or you can't be saved. Isn't that what they were teaching at that time? And guess what? They're still teaching a works-based salvation today. I have a couple different sources that I looked at, and I'm going to be done here fairly early. Wow. Well, maybe I could have preached the whole thing in one shot. But see, once I get to 10 pages, I'm like, I'm not risking it. But anyway, so what is the concept of salvation in Judaism today? Like, if you just do a Google search, these are the types of answers you're going to find. So here's what one person said. It said, I just typed in, what is the concept of salvation in Judaism? This is what I came up with in the results. No, not in the same way as in Christianity. For us, salvation or redemption is collective. We can repent by turning to prayer, study, and good deeds, and also introspection and inner spirituality. If we truly repent, then we are redeemed. How do you know it's true repentance? The rabbis devise a very clear and ingenious criteria. If you are in the same situation and you do not sin, that is proof of your repentance. So basically, proof that you repented is that you, and really that's what repentance is. When you say, I'm going to stop doing something, I'm going to do something else, or I'm going to stop believing in this and believe in that, and you don't go back to believing that, then that is true repentance. But is that what the Bible teaches it takes to be saved? Isn't it funny how a bunch of independent Baptists believe this same trash right here? Isn't it funny how a lot of Christianity believes this same trash right here? The Bible says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's Antichrist. So there's a bunch of churches in our modern day today that believe that you have to repent of your sins to be saved. You know what the Muslims believe? You have to repent of your sins to be saved. You know what Buddhists believe? That you have to repent of your sins and you might go to Nirvana or whatever else they believe in. This is a point, this is like the devil's framework right here. Because if you see it in all these other religions, but what does the Bible say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It says there's no other way. Now listen to what else it says. It's pretty interesting. What if you've never placed by fate or circumstance in such a situation ever again? Such a person might have legitimate questions about whether his repentance is real or not. However, the goal of repentance is not to get back in the good graces of the divine, although that is part of it, but also to change oneself and hopefully even have an impact on the wider community. The process of repentance is about sincerely examining wrongs done. Take inventory of what happened and why. Feeling sincere regret. You have to be really, really sorry to be saved. And then changing to a different course of action, which, you know, that's what like a lot of independent Baptists teach, right? That you have to feel bad and change and repent of your sins, right? All of this can be completely sincere, truthful, valid, and even beloved of G/D. That's because they're afraid to say God in the Jewish view. Even if you were never placed in that same situation again, in short, according to the effort is the reward, is the teaching of our sages. According to the effort is the reward. Is that what the Bible teaches? It says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, that our works, our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. So if people are trying to be saved by their filthy rags, by their works, they're never going to make it. It says even if the results are not visible, the process is still meaningful and powerful, but it is a process initiated by human action. So salvation is a human action? In response to human action, which is brought to fulfillment and closure and resolution specifically by human action. God might help us, but we have to do the work. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like work salvation, doesn't it? The other idea of redemption is collective redemption. This might mean God saving us, but we still have to do the work to continue to build a better world. So, I mean, they're teaching the opposite of the Bible, right? For example, one such instance of redemption in the Jewish tradition is the Exodus from Egypt. God helps Moshe Rabbeinu, but I think it's Moses, to complete his destiny and become a leader of his people in prophecy. But he still had to do the work himself, confronting Pharaoh, fleeing to a new land, meeting Zipporah and marrying her, learning about prophecy, so marriage apparently is part of his salvation, learning about prophecy and justifying his leadership with his people. Later, he had a mentor, Joshua, as well as his siblings, since they were leaders too, and Joshua would be the leader for a new generation. This too is not solely about divine action, but about a balance of human and divine partnership. So it's part human effort, part divine. Another example of a collective redemption is the holiday of Purim. We were threatened by a cruel, oppressive ruler, but Queen Esther and her uncle Mordecai saved us. The Purim text does not refer much to the divine role in all the events it describes. This is taught to Jewish children as a lesson that even when we think God isn't helping us, he might be in indirect ways we can't see, but it isn't an excuse to shrink from action ourselves. Another example of collective redemption is the holiday of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, you know, the Festival of Lights, is an indigenous rites holiday. So because, you know, what they're basically, they're talking about the Second Temple, you know, before it was destroyed, that's what they're still celebrating, the fact that there was like some miracle that happened and they cleansed the temple and all that stuff, the Maccabees. But that's, it says this too, I missed something here. It says, the indigenous rites holiday where we celebrate taking our land back from the Greeks who sought to destroy our temple, culture, and civilizational traditions. This too is about God and humanity working together. The miracle of the oil is displayed in the menorah. And we place the menorah in a window so people can see and to publicly celebrate the role of the divine in the miracles of Hanukkah. But we also celebrate because our people made effort to keep who we are alive, and because those efforts lasted to this day. And when it's dark, it's their effort that gives us light. We need to keep fighting and to continue their fight. As the late great Rabbi Jonathan Sacks of blessed memory wrote, memory is the moral tutor of mankind. So this is the Jewish view. If it's real, it comes through hard work and all of us working together. So that's what they believe that salvation is. Do you see why I'm preaching this sermon? Because Judaism is not a true religion. It's false. The Bible says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, you know, if we believe in him, we'll have everlasting life. Here's another, so you didn't think I was just cherry picking. I looked at several different sources, and here's another thing. This is how do you become a member of the Jewish faith? How to convert? Number one, discuss possible conversion with a rabbi. Number two, study Jewish beliefs, history, rituals, and practices. Number three, learn some Hebrew. Learn some Hebrew, you Gentile dogs. Get involved with Jewish community life. Number five, believe in God, the divinity of the Torah. Number six, agree to observe all 613 mitzvots or commandments in the Torah. All 613. If you don't obey all 613 commandments, you cannot be saved. Agree to live a fully Jewish life. Better get your dreidels. Better get your candles. And, you know, grow your little hair long or whatever else. Put the frontlets between your eyes. Wear, you know, I don't know where they get the funny hats and all that stuff. But look, folks, Judaism is a false religion. The Bible, you know, speaks for itself. Moses said that this was going to happen. And guess what? It happened. And so they have not salvation. So by my definition of a cult, I believe it's anything that's away from the way that's the truth. That's what God's definition is. So I'm going to believe what God believes and say that Judaism is a cult. There's no salvation inside Judaism. Now, can we reach people that are within it? Yeah. Let's try. Let's make an effort. You know, if they want to hear the gospel, which is very rare, then give them the gospel and get them saved. But just know this also in closing, that being a Jew is a religion. You know, and they're not even the real Jews. I'll cover that in the next sermon. They're not even the real Jews. The Jews are the ones that have believed on Christ. The Bible's very clear about that. So in closing, you know, we need to stick to the tenets of the Bible. And Moses was exactly right, wasn't he? Everything he said was true. And you know what? Moses got that from God. And people, they want to believe in Moses, but who they should really believe in is the Lord Jesus Christ, because Moses wrote about him, and they ignored that, and they said, crucify him, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the scriptures. Lord, how plain you make everything. Pray that you just help us, Lord, to love all people that can be saved, and that we would just tirelessly attempt to try to bring them to the light of the true gospel. And Lord, to not believe in works of repentance or good deeds. Lord, the Bible is very clear that we're supposed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. Pray, Lord, you'd help us when it comes to dealing with Jewish people of this religion, that we'd be patient with them, but Lord, also knowing that it's going to be very rare for us to actually get one of them to talk to us, but they can be saved, Lord, those that are the remnant. And we pray that you'd help us as we go out soul winning today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And turn to Green Hymnals, page 43. Page 43, we're marching to Zion. Green Hymnals, page 43, we're marching to Zion. Sing it out with me on that first verse. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Thanks for coming out to our Sunday morning service. Great singing. I'd like to see you back here at 3:30 this afternoon for our evening service. Brother Temo, would you end us with a word of prayer?